Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Botti in Washington. Today's Monday, September 25th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Liberia's ruling coalition accuses the opposition of threatening violence during elections in October.
What we condemn in the strongest term is the continual comments and incendiary rhetoric by the United Party and its supporters of a threat of war and of violence.
But an opposition politician says he's a man of peace. Ghana protesters call for economic reforms and an end to alleged corruption. Eswatini pro-democracy groups take issue with the King's speech at the United Nations General Assembly. We'll hear from the King's spokesperson. The East African community appeals for financial support for its peacekeeping mission in the DRC.
As they try to narrow the presence of MONUSCO, they need to expand the and support of the East African Regional Force.
And Sudanese filmmakers who fled war screened their work in Nairobi. Those stories plus Samson Umali's sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. In Liberia, the drumbeat of threats of violence is getting louder as the country moves closer to the October 10 presidential and parliamentary elections. The ruling Coalition for Democratic Change, CDC, has accused main opposition candidate and former Vice President Joseph Boakai of threatening the end of Liberia. Should the government rig the polls? The party has also accused Senator Prince Johnson of threatening a revolt like the Arab Spring if the vote is rigged. Eugene Nambwe is campaign manager for the CDC. He tells me that the government wants a peaceful election and condemns all threats of violence.
We would like to say, as the Coalition for Democratic Change, that the ultimate interest of all Liberians is to ensure that our country continues to remain a country of law, a country of peace, and a country of prosperity. What we condemn in the strongest term is the continual comments and incendiary rhetoric by the United Party and its supporters of a threat of war and of violence. The President of the Republic has said over and over again, and by his actions, we've guaranteed free and fair elections in this country because we have a record of doing that. So for the United Party to continually beat the drums of war, it is unfortunate, and we are calling on all Liberians to condemn the statement by Mr. Boakai that Liberia will come to an end whenever he perceives that the elections are rigged. Also from Prince Johnson, that there will be an Arab Spring-like violence in the country, from people like Yeke, people like General Podneke. All of these threats and violent rhetoric and the beating of war drums are not contributing to our proper democratic process.
Senator Prince Johnson has said that it is the ruling CDC that first started the violent threat. For example, he mentioned the attack on the Unity Party headquarters. He mentioned Vice President Joe Howard Taylor sending thugs to his church to disrupt service, and the parade around Monrovia by CDC supporters carrying a casket purported to be that of former Vice President Joseph Boakai. So he's saying the party started it first.
He's a perennial liar. Firstly, his edifice, because I always hesitate to call where he uses his political platform to preach hate messages as a church. So he created a political platform where he goes every Sunday and rains insults, incendiary messages on political opponents. So under our law, people have a right to express themselves. Some young people, when not under the authority of the vice president, went and had placards several yards away from his church. There was no violence. There were no disturbances. Yet, he described that as violence. It's unfortunate. Additionally, the CDC has not engaged in any violent act. Yes, there has been a lot of condemnation about people toting casket and all of that. That does not in any way give right for somebody to come and say publicly that Liberia will come to an end whatever they perceive that they have not won the elections.
Eugene Nambo is the campaign manager for the ruling Coalition for Democratic Change of Liberia. He was speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia. Senator Prince Johnson of Liberia says he's a man of peace who has served in the Senate for the last 18 years without causing any trouble. Johnson's latest comment comes as the ruling Coalition for Democratic Change, the CDC, accuses him of threatening a revolt like the Arab Spring if there is any cheating during Liberia's October 10 presidential and legislative elections. The threat of violence has prompted the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, to stress dialogue and mediation when addressing electoral concerns. Johnson tells me that he was responding to threats first made by President George Weah and supporters of the ruling coalition party.
Yes, but since I came from Nigeria 2005 and contested for the Liberian Senate, and I was elected, this is my 18 years in the Liberian legislature right now. I have caused no trouble in this republic. I have caused no trouble at all. I strongly believe the CDC is so frustrated overlooked me, and I left them. They thought they would use cash violence and my loyalty, my support. Like, that did not happen. I'm with the rescue team led by former Vice President Joseph Boycott and my own junior senator from Nimba County, Jeremiah Kuhn. So they are frustrated. I'm not a violent person. Now, let me say this to you and all those around the world who listen to me right now. When we signed the Fomenton River Declaration, right after the signing ceremony, walking from the hall, coming out, President Weah insulted Honorable Jonathan Burrish, thereby violating the accord that was signed. After the accord was signed, Vice President Joseph Boycott was going to his office on road. The sedition blocked the road of a moment and prevented the Vice President from going to his office. After the Fomenton Declaration was signed, Vice President Joshua Taylor disrupted my church by sending talks to embarrass the church. They disrupted. I had to go home with the help of the church members and the community dwellers. The CDC, from its inception in 2014 now, have been very violent. After the signing ceremony, Fomenton River, they began to tow casket around with a photograph of Joseph Boycott, telling the world that Joseph Boycott's dead body was in the casket. I am not violent. What happened is this. They have always said, and it's an open secret in Liberia, the sedition has said the UP spent 12 years in government. They did nothing for the country. They have only spent 6 years. They have not done so much. So whether the UP win or not, they will take it by force. They're threatening to wreck. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe using the influence and cash violence on the commissioners in the election commission. I don't know. But they have openly said they will wreck.
So, Senator, but did you say that there will be an Arab Spring in Liberia if anyone cheats in the election?
I said, I had a press conference, that any attempt to rig the election, it will meet resistance by the people of Liberia. The Constitution of the Republic of Liberia, Article 1, says all power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are instituted by the authority for their benefit and for their happiness. If the benefit and happiness are in limbo, and the future is doomed, and the governor becomes oppressive and dictatorial, and the people cannot benefit from massive corruption, extrajudicial killing, information of drugs, and using Liberia as a joint Republican state, the people have the right, when you vote the election, to go after you. People's power. The people's power can be used. That's what I said. I never talk about war.
Thank you so much, Senator.
God bless you.
That was Senator Prince Johnson of Liberia speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia. 3 days of protest for economic reforms and an end to alleged corruption in Ghana culminated on Saturday. Ghana's Minister of Information declined our request for an interview on the grounds that he was out of the country. Mustafa Gbandi is the Deputy General Secretary of the Opposition National Democratic Congress, or NDC. He tells me that there are more protests to come.
There are a series of protests taking place all against government of His Excellency Nana Akufo-Addo. One has to do with the corruption, the losses inflicted on Bank of Ghana. The other one has to do with a couple of young people who have decided that there's so much corruption ongoing in this country. There's so much lack of development despite the enormous support received by the government from the international community. You've heard His Excellency the President at the United Nations conference asking for reparation. And we feel that is a misplaced request because the President has taken a lot of loans from foreign support. He's gotten foreign grants in order to develop the country, but he chose to dissipate those resources towards empowering himself and his own family and his kids at the expense of Ghanaians. So young people, celebrities, footballers, all sort of people have decided to engage in a protest against the government. If you follow the trend, last week, the police used some crude ways by brutalizing these people, but subsequently they were able to undertake the demonstrations. And furthermore, the Bank of Ghana demonstration is coming off. We are going to demonstrate on the losses that this government have caused Bank of Ghana, which has never happened in the history of this country.
I think the government would say that perhaps the protesters need to give the government a chance, because recently the government got a loan and you have to let the loan work so that whatever you are protesting about can become a reality. I mean, so the economy can improve.
The president, apart from the loan he's collecting, it just came out that he's intending to collateralize all the oil fields in this country for a loan, $430 million. So if taking IMF loan is enough to turn the economy around, why is it taking to take another $430 million? There is high rate of corruption in the governance of this country. They know that. And so the people of Ghana are just fed up. We do not want the country to degenerate into what is happening in the West African sub-region, the coups that are happening, because Ghana have developed to the state that we do not want to abolish our constitution. Our laws have grown so much. And so they are calling on government to seize the corruption. But this government will never stop.
Some people might argue that you, the opposition, are trying to capitalize or preparing yourself for elections, so therefore you might be behind some of these protests.
Well, every Ghanaian knows the law. They know how the remits of the law gives authority to various institutions and agencies. And so they are discerning people. And they are experiencing the level of hardship. They also see and experience the level of corruption in this government. So how would they accuse opposition for being behind their corruption?
Mustapha Bandi is the Deputy General Secretary of Ghana's main opposition, National Democratic Congress. He was speaking with me from the capital, Accra. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, September 25th. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come, our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. The East African community is calling on the international community for financial support to restore peace and stability in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The withdrawal dates of the UN peacekeeping forces have been revised from December 2024 to this December. Moses Javier Rimana has the story.
DRC President Felix Tshisekedi has criticized the troops for not executing their mandate, which began about a year ago. The East African Regional Forces have been working with the UN peacekeepers, MONUSCO, to restore peace in the eastern part of the country. But there has been noticeable progress, with an end to confrontation between the DRC army and the M23 rebels. Now, the East African Community Secretary General Peter Matuki is calling for the international community to provide financial support so the regional forces can achieve their mission, as the East African community faces funding shortages for the troops.
As they try to narrow the presence of MONUSCO, we need to expand the and support of the East African Regional Force. Then our regional force will be able to do a commendable job. Already you have seen that there is cessation of hostilities in Eastern DRC. We are going to do a lot to ensure stability of peace in Eastern DRC.
The EAC Secretary General's comment comes as the withdrawal of the UN peacekeeping mission is within the next few months. This is after President Tshisekedi announced the decision during the annual meeting of the UN General Assembly last week. He said that the UN peacekeepers failed to restore peace and stability.
L'accélération du retrait de la MONUSCO devient une nécessité impérieuse pour apaiser les tensions.
He says that the accelerated withdrawal of MONUSCO is a necessity to diffuse recent tensions with the population. He says that it is high time for the country to explore new mechanisms of strategic collaboration with the UN. He says that for the well-being of Congolese citizens, he has instructed the government to start discussions with the UN to withdraw its mission starting in December 2023 instead of December 2024. Dozens were killed last month during violent anti-UN demonstrations in the eastern city of Goma. Protesters accused them of protecting the M23 and called for them to leave the country. Didier Bitaki is a conflict resolution expert based in Kinshasa.
For them to withdraw from DRC, how citizens are going to survive from all these civilian attacks by rebel groups, and especially DRC? So there is a problem, because since this government of DRC doesn't have enough forces, nobody knows what is going to happen tomorrow after the withdrawal of the MONUSCO.
According to the United Nations, MONUSCO has deployed more than 15,000 peacekeepers. Kinshasa believes the call for their accelerated withdrawal is in the country's best interest. Moses Habyarimana for Voice of America.
King Mswati III of Eswatini says his country supports the global call for dialogue to end all conflicts. The king told the 78th UN General Assembly in New York that Eswatini supports the call to silence all guns. However, pro-democracy groups in Eswatini said he should practice domestically what he preaches internationally by engaging in dialogue with them and not use guns to silence dissenting voices. Eswatini government spokesperson Alpheus Zumalo tells me that the king highlighted Eswatini's homegrown model of a people-driven democracy.
His Majesty's address and his speech was focused first and foremost on the natural disasters, and obviously expressed concern to the new political phenomenon that is now occurring in Africa, the taking over of governments through unconstitutional means in the processes of coup d'etats, which we can see some of the coups are actually happening within another coups. His Majesty urged world leaders to find new ways and solutions to situations that are confronting the world in terms of the disasters that are happening, and of course to the wars that are raging in some respective countries around the globe.
In part of his speech, as every other leader had done during the General Assembly, expressing support for the global effort to silence all guns. But as I went through papers in Eswatini, some of the opposition people are saying the king should practice what he said at home.
That is incorrect. They are the ones, actually, those small groups which have taken a route and path of the politics of the spear and the sword through activities and acts of terrorism that have waged a silent and low-key shooting of our people in the country. And His Majesty, of course, was saying there is no need in this day and age for people to engage in those kind of activities, when in actual fact we have got the best method as a state to resolve our issues, which should always be through dialogue. So when His Majesty urged the world and urged everyone to silence the guns, there was absolutely no contradiction in that context and that content, because that is what the Kingdom of Eswatini is duty for. It's a different matter when a country is resisting and waiting off aggression from terrorist groups. It's a different thing when a country is defending its territorial integrity and defending its sovereignty. That is not what the king is talking about. The king is talking about people who have since decided deliberately to use the language of guns, of bullet and powder, as a political language of expression.
I guess what they say is that they agree with the king in his support to silence guns, but they said he must be committed to hold dialogue.
His Majesty, like in all the other Maswati who are under his able leadership, have committed themselves to dialogue. And of course, we are a country with a history, by the way, my brother. It is not like Eswatini is a state that has just been born yesterday. Our leaders and our kings and our monarchs have always used dialogue to resolve issues where there is different point of views.
Alpheus Zumalo is the Eswatini government spokesperson. He was speaking with us from Washington, D.C. It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport with athletics, where Ethiopia's Tigisit Asifa smashed the women's marathon world record as she won the Berlin Marathon on Sunday. Asifa, who also won last year's race, crossed the line in a time of 2 hours, 11 minutes and 53 seconds. The 29-year-old took more than 2 minutes off the previous record of 2 hours, 14 minutes, 04 seconds set by Kenya's Bridget Kosgei in Chicago in 2019. In the men's category, it was Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya who secured his 5th Berlin Marathon victory on Sunday. 38-year-old double Olympic champion Kipchoge finished in the time of 2 hours, 2 minutes, 42 seconds.
I've learned lessons. I have won, but I did not break a world record. So it's going back again. Every race is a learning lesson.
And on to rugby, where the Rugby World Cup taking place in France featured one of the most anticipated matches on Saturday, when South Africa national team, the Springboks, suffered a disappointing 13-8 defeat against the top-ranked team in the world, Ireland, in their Rugby World Cup Pool B clash at the Stade de France in Paris. However, it does mean they have to register a win against Tonga next week to advance to the quarterfinals. Springbok coach Jack Ninamba and captain Siya Kolisi ruled their missed opportunities in the match, but said they'll keep their heads high and turn their focus to next week's encounter against Tonga.
They were, hats off to Ireland, they were better than us on the day. And yes, I think we missed a couple of points off the tee. I think we, in the first half alone, we lost 2 balls.
Yeah, I thought they were more accurate than us today, and they were a bit faster in the breakdown. But as Jack said, we knew it was coming. Obviously, we players, we take full responsibility of that.
In football news, the head coach of Rwanda's women's football team was suspended on Saturday by the National Federation for saying Ghanaian rivals were like men after her side's defeat. My colleague James Burgess spoke with sport reporter E.D. Nsabimana of the New Times of Rwanda on why the Rwanda's Football Federation suspended the coach until further notice.
From my perspective, from my observation, I think she could be fired indefinitely, because from what I hear from Ghana is that they were so concerned about her comments and they're not happy about what she said about their players, which may have prompted the FA to suspend her, for them to look into the matter extensively. So she's now suspended, but she could be sacked indefinitely just as a result of her comments.
And that's it for this Monday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good Monday. And that's it for this Monday, September 25th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for beginning your week with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, The Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I am James Botti, Washington, wishing that you will have a great week.
Greetings. This is VOA Sunny Young. Brighten your day by tuning in the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and VOAAfrica.com. It's the sunny side.